The Tragedy of Macbeth by William Shakespeare. Act 1, Scene 5, Macbeth's Castle.
They met me in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood rapt in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me, Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me, and referred me to the coming on of time with, Hail, king that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily, wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou'lt have, great Glamis, that which cries, thus thou must do, if thou have it, and that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishest should be undone. Ah, hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in thine ear, and chastise with the valour of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood, stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and paw thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, Hold, hold. Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all hail hereafter, thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love. Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh. Never shall sun that morrow see.
Your face, my thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time, bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for, and you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
Act 1, Scene 7, Macbeth's Castle.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence, and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all, here, but here, upon this bank and shoal of time, we'd jump the life to come, But in these cases, we still have judgment here, that we but teach bloody instructions which, being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed, then as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, not bear the knife myself. Besides, this Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued, against the deep damnation of his taking off. And pity, like a naked newborn babe striding the blast, or heaven's cherubim horsed upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other. How now, what news?
He is almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Hath he asked for me?
No, you not, he has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which should be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since, and wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? Oh, from this time such I count thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting, I dare not, wait upon, I would, like a poor cat in the adage?
Prithee, peace! I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
Oh, what beast wast then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck. I know how tender 'tis to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this.
If we should fail.
We fail! But screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his hard day's journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I, with wine and wassails, so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quest?
Bring forth men, children only. For thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received? When we have marked with blood the sleepy two of his own chamber, and used their very daggers that they had dunned.
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamors roar upon his death?
I am settled. And bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
Act 2, Scene 1, Court of Macbeth's Castle.
Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not, fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshalst me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still. And on thy blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now o'er the one half world nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel the wolf, whose howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides towards his design, moves like a ghost. Thou sure and firm-set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whiles I threat, he lives. Words to the heat of deeds, too cold breath gives. I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
Act 2, Scene 2, Court of Macbeth's Castle.
That which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Oh, peace! It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman which gives the sterns good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, that death and nature do contend about them whether they live or die.
Who's there? What? How?
Alack, I am afraid they have awaked, and 'tis not done. The attempt, and not the deed, confounds us. Hark, I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done't. My husband.
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended.
Aye.
This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
As one did laugh in sleep, and one cried murder that they did wake each other, I stood and heard them. But they did say their prayers and addressed them again to sleep. One cried, God bless us, and amen the other, as they had seen me with these hangman's hands. Listening their prayers, I could not say amen when they did say God bless
us. Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could I not pronounce amen? I had much need of blessing, and amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways, so it will make us mad.
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth does murder sleep. The innocent sleep. Sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, sleep no more, to all the house. Glom's hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? My worthy thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain-sickly of things. Go, get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go carry them and smear the sleeping rooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I am afraid to think what I have done. Look on't again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose. Give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. It is the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms withal, for it must seem their guilt.
Whence is that knocking?
How is't with me when every noise appalls me? Oh, what hands are here? Oh, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No. This my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. I hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself.
Wait, Duncan, with thy knocking!
I would thou couldst.
Act 3, Scene 1, The Palace.
Knots had. All spent were our desires got without content. 'Tis safer to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord? Why do you keep alone? Of sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died with them they think on. Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We have scorched the snake, not killed it. She'll close and be herself, whilst our poor malice remains in danger of her former tooth. But let the frame of things disjoint both the worlds suffer, ere we will eat our meal in fear, and sleep in the affliction of these terrible dreams that shake us nightly. Better be with the dead, whom we, to gain our peace, have sent to peace, than on the torture of the mind to lie in restless ecstasy. Duncan is in his grave. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well. Treason has done his worst.
Come on. Gentle, my lord, sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial amongst your guests tonight.
So shall I, love. And so, I pray, be you. Let your remembrance apply to Banquo. Present him eminence both with eye and tongue, unsafe the while that we must lave our honors in these flattering streams, and make our faces vizards to our hearts, disguising what they are.
You must leave this.
Full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance lives.
But in them, nature's copies not eternal.
Oh, there's comfort yet.
they are assailable, then be thou jocund.
Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black Hecate summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath rung night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand, cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, whilst night's black agents to their praise do rouse. Thou marvel'st at my words, yet hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill. So prithee, go with me.
Act 3, Scene 4. The Banquet Hall in the Palace.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move, and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have, by maggot pies and chuffs and rooks, brought forth the secretest man of blood. What is the night?
Almost at odds with morning, which is which?
How sayst thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I hear it by the way, but I will send. There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. I will tomorrow, and betimes I will to the weird sisters. More shall they speak. For now I am bent to know by the worst means the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood, steeped in so far, that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all natures, sleep.
Come, we'll to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young, indeed.